Moments I Wish I Could Take Back, Part 2. North Carolina, 1977 to 1980. Last time, I shared about lots of evangelistic mistakes or faux pas, some of them were actually sins, in my undergraduate days. And of course, I shared selectively. There were many more things I wish I hadn't done. Like, I worked for the mathematics department all 3 years I was at Duke. I would grade papers, homework assignments mainly, and very often on the back, I would write an invitation to a small group Bible study. It's amazing that I was never called out on that, but that was really not necessary. In those years at Duke, yeah, a number of people became Christians, but that does not justify my attitude or my behavior towards those who did not, and even towards those who did. Today, I want to talk about some dumb decisions made during those times. At the time, I promise you, not a single one of these seemed dumb. They all seemed spiritual. I believe I was making a false distinction between spiritual and unspiritual activities. Let me explain. One of the things I enjoyed the most before I was baptized was playing soccer. I was in an intramural soccer league. I really enjoyed it. But what did I do when I was baptized? I dropped out. Why'd I do that? Well, because sports are not spiritual, and so I shouldn't be doing that. I regret that, but that was the way I was thinking and continued to think for a number of years. Sports, of course, are a great way not just to build character, but to build relationships. So that was a real loss. One of my classes was astronomy. There was an opportunity to look in the big telescope, I mean, to really see some stunning things. But that would have, that was in the evening, and that would have conflicted with my other activities, so I passed on that. Oh, I wish I had it. In my oceanography class, there was a field trip. Duke University has an oceanographic station on the Atlantic Ocean, and this should have been the highlight of the whole course. I was the only person in the class of 150 or 200 not to join. I remember after the professor announced this, I walked down to the front and told him that, well, I had a Friday student devotional, which I couldn't miss. Now, the truth is, if I had asked my campus minister, what do you think? I think he would have said, go. Go to the oceanographic station. So this wasn't just the system, this was me. Or maybe better put, an interaction between my personality, upbringing, my hang-ups, and the system itself. This is all so crazy because I love science now. I read magazines to keep current. I read a few science books every year. I go to some conferences. I didn't show up for the oceanographic retreat, and I missed the telescope opportunity. Just typical of me at this time. You know, Solomon, in his better days, had a deep interest in nature and the arts and more. We read about that in 1 Kings 4. I'm sure he would have loved astronomy and oceanography. For me, well, again, moments I wish I could take back. Many other moments at this period of my life came from, as a young Christian, unnaturally forcing the Bible or some reference to Scripture into every class. For example, the semester I became a Christian, I was taking European history. And we had a term paper to write, and I chose to write about the Anabaptists. In the 16th century, there were a number of groups that were realizing baptism is immersion and that it's not something that's for babies. I was very excited about this. Now, if you read my paper, you would think it was for a religion class. It was just full of scripture. Like I was trying to prove to my professor that I understand this doctrine. Our church understands this doctrine. He gave me an okay grade. It wasn't a high grade. I don't think I deserve one. A few semesters later, I was taking history of science. And my term paper there was really a paper on evolution. And to make it worse, I think my position was wrong. What I advocated for was incorrect. In Chinese history, yes, I wrote papers, and I led a seminar rather poorly, but I was always trying to put in biblical references, whether they fit in or not. In Roman history, I wrote a paper on the destruction of Jerusalem. Now, that was a little more understandable because the Romans did destroy Jerusalem in 70 AD, the first time they destroyed it, and Jesus prophesies that in Matthew 24. But again, if you looked at my paper, you would think this was for a religion class. It was just full of quotes from the Bible and the statesman historian Josephus. By the way, you can find that paper at my website. There was even a course, I don't remember the name of it, but it met in my dormitory. But when it was my turn to lead, because everyone had a chance, under the tutelage of the professor, I brought Bibles. I borrowed some, and because I needed about 15, and I passed them out so every student would have a Bible as I took them through Galatians 5:19-21. Does this sound like, not lacking in boldness, but discretion, sure. I could have written these papers and participated in these classes in a spirit of excellence and respect and honor the Lord without unnaturally forcing things. And this brings back to mind the scripture I read last time. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Colossians 4, verses 5 to 6. Well, a third dumb thing has to do with my sleep. I probably was not sleeping enough even in high school. Now, in those days, high school started at 9 a.m., but I tend to stay up very late, way past my parents. I was always up after midnight, and getting 6 or 7 hours, it's not enough when you're that age. I was at a student devotional, and this was actually, I'd been a Christian about 2 months, and the speaker said something like, a lot of us could get by on less sleep. Now, I don't know if he was saying that that should be our permanent strategy or if he was saying that sometimes you can get by on less for a period of time. Regardless, the way I took it was that this is from God. This is what I need to do because time, it's God's time. The less I sleep, the more time I have to serve God. I know, already you can think of the fallacies in this thinking. And so what I did is I slept 15 minutes less every day. Yes, I tracked my time and set my alarm. My brother was visiting me. He stayed in my dorm at Duke, and we were talking for a long time. In fact, we didn't go to bed till 4. And I said, now, the alarm's going to be going off at 8. And he was stunned. He said, 8? He said, yeah, I'm down to 4 hours a night now. And, well, you know, soon after that, I was so run down, I had to add time. And I settled on 5 hours and 45 minutes. And if I slept more than that, I felt guilty. And if I slept less than that, I was even more zombie-tonic than I was at 5:45. Oh, my goodness. In grad school, I settled on 6 hours and 10 minutes. But I was always tired. And to tell you the truth, even now, 40-plus years later, I'm still unlearning. I'm still trying to sleep the right amount and getting healthier. Anyway, trying to get 8 hours. I can give a few more examples here. In my undergraduate days, church, we had 5 or 6 activities a week. Sunday school, Sunday church, Sunday evening church, Monday Bible study. For a time, Monday, young Christians class. Wednesday, we had a leadership class. We had also midweek church service. And Friday, student devotional. And that was fine because we didn't work jobs. I mean, I worked maybe 5 hours a week part-time to have money to put into the plate. But there was a lot of flexibility. But even then, doesn't that sound crazy? I mean, how would you find time to be with other people, just in fellowship? Well, for me, that was hard because I spent my time in evangelism. In those 3 years, I only missed one half of one midweek. And why was that? It wasn't because I was never sick. It's actually because on one Wednesday night, I had an exam scheduled. I had to take it. So I rushed through the exam, found a way to get to church for the second half. And to make it worse, I was sick and had a fever, but I felt I'm doing the right thing. Later on, in one of the end of term, don't do this. I took three final exams in one day. They had a policy, because the exams were all 3 hours. If you were scheduled for 9 hours of exams in one day, you could get an exemption. You could take it a different time. And so I had three finals in one day. I didn't claim the exemption. And the first day of finals, I had basically zero sleep. I failed an exam, which ended up in a poor grade in the Latin American history class, and then I lost my scholarship as a result. I managed to get it back later in the summer, but that's another story. I tell about that in my book, Campus Core. But then a day or two later, I'm taking three finals in a single day. This is just crazy. And I didn't get hooked on coffee. That wouldn't come until grad school, when I would drink a couple of cups every day. Now, I'm aiming for a healthy lifestyle. My friends know this. The small group I'm in with life coaching, we're really working towards that because, as Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 6, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we want to treat our bodies well. It's not unspiritual to eat healthily. Probably the decision I most regret during these years has to do with respect and disrespect. I really liked the classical Greek course I took in my senior year. And one of the brothers in that course, who's still a friend today, was going out to dinner with the other students to honor him. This professor would be retiring soon. It was not a spiritual activity, but I thought it was wrong to go. Most of the students went, I didn't. And it wasn't just because I had little money, though that may have played into it, as an excuse. I thought, this is not a spiritual activity. You know, if we were bringing him to a church meeting, that'd be quite different. But we'd give him the wrong idea. We just went out to dinner and didn't have the Bible open. And that's the way I thought. Now, I try to spend time with people and respect them, even if they may not become Christians, even if it's unlikely that will happen. Because as Paul says, we should give honor to all men, as Peter says, give respect where it's due. Well, okay, I've shared the stupidity, and I don't want to leave you with an impression that now I make none of these mistakes, because mistakes I've made are all connected with my natural pattern of thinking, something I've been overcoming and trying to overcome for decades. My last term at Duke was actually overseas because I got my scholarship back after failing my Latin American history final, and I was able to spend my last term at New College, Oxford, and that was a really good time. Well, next, I like to move from North Carolina up to Massachusetts and share some inglorious moments during my 2 years working on my master's. Thanks for listening, and I hope there's something useful here.